The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's going on, golf addicts? Thank you for downloading this week's episode of the Tour Junkies Golf Podcast. We've got a jam-packed episode as we break down the Arnold Palmer Invitational. We recap the Valspar. We have a huge announcement. You do not want to miss the announcement coming. But before we get started, you notice we don't have our intro music this week. We are going to play you guys a song written by a friend of Pat's and performed by that same friend called Arnold Palmer. This is the week that we all remember. One of the greatest just guys in the game, ambassadors for the game, the king, Arnold Palmer. So enjoy this song, appropriately named Arnold Palmer, by our friend Mark Wiggins, and then we'll get into the podcast.
Daddy Deacon put the golf club in his hand. Don't change it, boy, soon you'll grow to be a man. What a man he was a champion through and through. Amateurs and opens, green jackets too. Arnold Palmer was the best there's ever been. Hit the ball like thunder and made you feel like him. Hit an army in every fairway, on every green. Arnold Palmer was the best I've ever seen. Better half name when he was his driving force. She always go with him right there at every course. Swung with all his might like an airplane taking flight. He kept on winning, treating people right. Arnold Palmer was the best there's ever been. He hit the ball like thunder and made you feel like him. There'd be an army in every fairway, on every green. Arnold Palmer was the best I've ever seen. So raise a toast to Arnie when you're drinking in the shade. A perfect combination of tea and lemonade. Men wanted to be him, the women just to see him. He was a gentleman, a friend in every way. Arnold Palmer was the best there's ever been. Hit the ball like thunder and made you feel like him. There'd be an army in every fairway, on every green. Arnold Palmer was the best there's ever seen. There'd be an army in every fairway, on every green. Arnold Palmer was the best I've ever seen. Arnold Palmer was the best I've ever seen.
All right, golf addicts. Well, that was my buddy Mark Wiggins with the Arnold Palmer song. And let me tell you something. I think that was a perfect lead-in to this week's show. Mark is a buddy of mine. I grew up with him. And, you know, we haven't really connected in a while, but he's a big fan of the Tour Junkies, and he knew that the API Invitational was coming up and sent us that song. And it's I thought it was a pretty good song. And, you know, you can you can follow Mark at Fun with Wiggins, or you can check his website out, www.markwaynewiggins.com. And anyway, I think it was a good song. And, you know, Mark, it was funny. He was telling me about the song and just writing it, and then how he saw Palmer at the Masters. He works at the Masters on the 10th hole,
And he saw him in the pro shop. And he did the old awkward stand next to Palmer while he was talking to somebody else. And he was like, hey, he just kind of like got his attention somehow. And he's like, hey, I wrote a song about you.
It's so awkward.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I didn't know
that.
And
Arnie was just like, just kind of like looked over at him and was like, hey, and just kind of gave him that Arnie thumbs up. And that was pretty much it. And then Mark said he just walked out from there. So
I don't think that was the Arnie thumbs up. I think that was the Arnie, hey, you need to stick it up your pipe hole here, buddy. Yeah. That is awful. I did not know that. That's a trip.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a good song. We wanted to.
Is he going to be on the 10th hole again this year?
He is. He works every year.
10 tee box or fairway? What'd you say?
I'm not sure. I think it's in the fairway. I could be wrong there.
Is he a younger guy?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's my age. What do you say? We're in our 40s.
Well, that's old, but that's young for a gallery guard. I mean, yeah. Most of the gallery guards are older.
So if you see him, you know, look him up. Yeah, just call him Wiggins. That's what we call him. Great singer.
He's on iTunes, by the way. He's on iTunes.
Yeah, he is.
Mark Wayne Wiggins on iTunes. You can download that song, Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
So, very cool. We just thought we'd start off something different.
I like how he said at the end in the live version that is the number one Arnie Palmer song out there. So
yeah,
probably the only one, but good stuff. Anyway, there you go. That's all
we've got. That's all you got for the whole show?
That's all I got for the whole show. No, that's all I got for the intro, because you usually do that, but I did it this time. So where we go from here, I have no idea.
You fumbled through it this time, huh? Yeah, man, it was a great week last week. We have an exciting week coming up at the API, as mentioned, at Bay Hill, Arnie's tournament, the first event without him. Definitely an emotional week if you're a golf fan, and not just a DFS fan, but you're actually a golf fan, which I would imagine most people listening are. And, you know, there'll be plenty of stuff going on the Golf Channel and all that stuff all week as we pay tribute to Arnie, the king, truly a great of the game and his tournament. There's been a lot of controversy around the players that are not coming, but we're not going to focus on that tonight. We are going to talk about those who are going to be there. But before we do that, we have to recap the Valspar and do a couple of other housekeeping items, including our major, huge announcement. Okay. But before we do that, let's talk Valspar, Pat. How were your picks? How was your week when it comes to DFS?
Well, there's been sort of a theme in my life lately, and a lot of it has to do with a dry spell.
And, we're getting into that tonight, huh?
So we'll go ahead and get into that. But
yes,
yeah. So it continues. Basically, and it continues with not green screens. You know, I'm finding some really good play. I'm getting some good guys in my lineups, and we're making some good picks. But I just there's a few people that keep screwing it up. So anyway, you know, we loved Hadwin, and Hadwin was kind of an easy pick to me last week. Of course, I didn't put him in any of my lineups, which is just stupid.
I did.
But yeah, I know you did. But the guy was just totally mispriced this week, both on fantasy draft. I thought he was a little better on fantasy draft than he was on DraftKings. But in general, seemed just, I don't know, just wasn't right. So you know, again, not a good week for me. The dry spell continues.
Well, what are other areas that you're having a dry spell, Pat? Well, I mean, what do you mean? Like it's a theme in your life? Elaborate for me and the listeners.
Okay, well, so, you know, I'm married, and sometimes when you're in a marriage, you know, there's ups and downs to a marriage, and sometimes you may just kind of hit a dry spell, you know, just sort of, you know, you kind of put me on the spot with that question.
Okay, sorry.
I really don't. I don't know how to. You know, I think the listeners could probably gather what I mean by a dry spell. How about that?
Okay. My bad. Well, I did have some green screens. It was another week where I made more money in fantasy draft than I did DraftKings. I had a lot of Daniel Berger in DraftKings, and that kind of messed me up. Their Berger just totally screwing it up on Friday. Yeah. We did have a pretty good week, Pat. It was arguably one of the best weeks we've had in a while. We picked 26 golfers. Only six missed the cut, We had four guys in the top 10 and nine in the top 25. And as you mentioned, we did pick Adam Hadwin. So, you know, you and I should have had more green screens than we did just based off our picks if we listened to ourselves. But a lot of times we don't. And it's hard to not tinker, and that's kind of what happened. But, you know, for me, again, it was kind of that thing where I was fading that top tier a little bit, except for Berger. I hopped on him when everybody jumped off of him on the illness on Wednesday. And unfortunately, he was in a lot of my lineups. So, I mean, there were a few lineups I had where, you know, five guys got through and Berger didn't. So it was just it was one of those things. It is what it is, but
Well, you know, we were, you know, you look at the shot in the arm on RotoGrinders, pretty good on there.
Shot in the arm went really well. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the chat room, where I think a lot of value comes in, especially later in the week, we were pretty spot on. And one of the things I mentioned with some of the questions we had is I kind of had, as far as my lineups that I was building last week, you know, I had several core guys who did really good, but then you have your kind of, I had my outliers, and that was really what killed me was just a few of the outliers that I kind of sprinkled into the different lineups. And that's where I really got hurt. Cause I loved Russell Henley last week. I had him in several lineups.
Yeah. I had a lot of Henley.
You know, I had, you know, who else was up there? I'm trying to think near the very end that I had that was, you know, I don't know. I can't even remember. But
age is,
yeah, that's
to
the
you.
Age. That's,
well,
the age thing,
you're getting off track a little bit, old man. But you were in the chat room Wednesday night. I'm looking here at 8:42 p.m. Sure thing on RotoGrinders said Hadwin is so cheap this week. Is he chalk? You responded, he is chalk. However, I am not avoiding him, especially in cash. So it's, you know, little conversations like that that pay off. We had some other little tips in the shot in the arm. We faded, our two guys that we faded were Justin Thomas and Bubba Watson, who both missed the cut. And so it was a good week. It was a really good week in the shot in the arm. We do encourage you guys to hop in that. It is only $5.99 a week, and you can get in. You can get our exclusive written content that we don't put anywhere else other than RotoGrinders. And the, like you said, the chat room is the most valued feature by far, is what everyone says that gets in there. The chat room is the thing. So definitely continue to check that out. So like we mentioned, Hadwin victory, the Canadian breaking through with his first win. It was good to see. Seems like a good guy. He kind of started losing it there at the end, but he made up for it. He dropped a couple of huge putts. I mean, the guy just, he's one of the best putters on tour. He's always been that, but now his ball striking seems to be coming around. Really cool. Also cool to see Patrick Cantlay just get that second place finish. That was awesome. Great story there. Gets his tour card off the medical exemption, fully statused. Other cool storylines, our boy JT Poston with a top 14 finish the week of being on the Tour Junkies,
right,
podcast. We were all over him. In fact, we even said in the podcast, a bunch of people are going to be on Ollie Schneiderjans. Hop off of Ollie at 7,100 and get on JT, which
worked
proved
out
to be a fantastic move as Ollie missed the cut. Our boy Nick Watney, who we were both big on, he was in the shot in the arm as well. He played pretty well. He kind of faded a little bit after day one, but played pretty well. And I thought the Keith Mitchell thing was pretty cool. You know, that Keith Mitchell was a guy JT mentioned in the interview as would be fun to have on the show. He's a University of Georgia graduate and golfer playing on the web.com. Got in on the Monday qualifier, made a putt on 18. I think it was like a 25-foot putt on 18 to get in the Monday qualifier. Had to borrow a pair of shoes to play. And JT said he would be an interesting guy to get on the show. Maybe we'll have to work on that. But he gets in and then just freaking killed it. I think he was top 15. I know he's top 15, maybe even top 10. That was Keith Mitchell. So I thought that was cool.
He was actually, yeah, he was top 15. He was T11, so
yeah,
at 6 under. So.
That would be top 15, yeah. Very
so, yeah,
nice. Moving on, though, you know, we've got a better field this week. So Valspar, we're done with you. We did run our first ever fantasy draft listener leagues, which was a lot of fun. We filled both of our leagues, so thank you to those guys who jumped in that. We had two 32 man teams or leagues. Neither one of us cashed in that, which is pretty crappy and embarrassing. But it is what it is. One of the most impressive things is one of the guys finished first in both contests. JJ Too Fast for you, actually. No, I'm sorry. He tied for first in one league, but there's another guy. Let me pull up his Twitter handle here. He actually finished first in both. And so he got him a nice little payout. Where is he? Stalling.
You need to be more prepared for.
I can't find it.
Just read his name out.
I can't even. I don't have his name pulled up.
Okay, well, good for that guy. He won.
Yeah, we're gonna get him. Shirts. They're both of those guys are gonna win shirts, TJ shirts, and obviously they won some money, so that's pretty cool. Okay, here it is. JJCY79, John Cybulski is the guy. That's who won both. Very cool, John. Congratulations. That's freaking nuts. And he won him with two different lineups.
So was the key to have JJ in the first two letters of your fantasy?
Ooh, JJ Henry too. JJ Henry too, which was a good pick.
Yeah. But the other guy, it was JJ too fast for you.
That's true. That's crazy.
What the hell?
That's blowing my mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we will be reaching out to you guys, or if you're listening, you need to reach out to us. Email us info@tourjunkies.net so we can get you your shirt from the swag shop. And congratulations to you guys.
Nice work.
Now, the moment we've all been waiting for, Pat. I'm excited. Are you excited?
I can't. I cannot wait.
Okay. Here's what everyone can do right now listening. Unless you're driving. If you're driving, don't do this. Close your eyes. Okay? Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Breathe through your nose. Can you smell it? You know what I mean? Can you smell it?
Oh, I know what
do you know
mean.
What the, do you know the smell I'm talking about, Pat?
Yeah, I do.
What's
I
the smell? Right now.
It's the smell of cigars.
And?
And grass.
Oof. And?
And $2 Miller Lights.
Oh, and?
$1.50 egg salad sandwich or banana cheese.
Keep going. And?
And? I thought I was doing pretty good there. What else?
I can smell the azaleas.
The azaleas.
Pat.
The magnolias.
The magnolias. We're of course talking about the Augusta National. The Augusta National. Our home, right here in Augusta, hosting the greatest sporting event ever in the history of sporting events, is the Masters, okay? And if you've never been, then you don't understand. But it is the best run, most incredible sporting event in the world. And we have a chance for one lucky listener to come to the Masters on Monday, two nights in the hotel, your Monday ticket, hanging out with us, walking through the ropes on Monday. We're going to be there. We're with you. We're going to walk around. We're going to kick it. We're going to drink the $2 beers and the egg salad sandwiches and all that good stuff. All of that you want. And then dinner on Monday night with the Tour Junkies. The Tour Junkies Road to Augusta, Pat.
Mic drop. One more. Just say it one more time so I can believe it.
Road to Augusta, presented by the Tour Junkies. Mic drop.
All expenses paid?
All expenses paid. Airfare, Sunday night and Monday night in a hotel right here in Augusta. Your Monday practice round ticket, your food and drinks while you're on the course, and dinner Monday night, all while you kick it with us. Road to Augusta, presented by Tour Junkies. Mic drop!
Wow.
I just got goosebumps. Like, God, I really hope...
How are we able to do this?
Hold on, before I say this, I really hope that whoever wins this has never been before. That's my hope. If somebody wins it and they've been before, that's fine. I'm good with it. It's going to be a lot of fun. But I really hope that whoever wins this has never been to the Masters before, because there's nothing like stepping foot from Washington Road through the gate. Everyone's yes ma'aming, no ma'aming, yes sirring, no sirring, thank you, please, have a great day. Everyone is like, it's the most polite place on earth. It's the cleanest place on earth, where every bathroom will have a 16-year-old boy attending to every drop of urine that hits the ground, making sure that it is clean and you are good to go. It is just a beautiful place where the food is great, the atmosphere is just unbelievable. Monday's a fun day to go. It's a laid-back day. We can take a camera. You can take pictures. It's just, it's going to be a blast, Pat. It's going to be a blast. Why don't you tell them how we're making this happen?
So our good friends at Fantasy Draft, we've been,
Hey, listen, Fantasy Draft moves fast now. They're like the frisky girl in high school. Like when they get on it, man, they move quick. Like, we kind of discovered Fantasy Draft a couple weeks ago. Before we know it, we're like rounding third base. You know what I mean?
They are the fast girl.
But I like it.
And we like it.
Yeah.
So Fantasy Draft is making this happen. And they are some great fantastic folks over there.
Great fantastic.
And so as a matter of fact, there's probably going to be a representative from Fantasy Draft hanging out with us, which we think is going to be awesome.
Yep.
Especially if it's who we think it's going to be.
Yep.
And so again, they're going to they're hooking us up. They're hooking the Tour Junkies listeners up, and they're Masters fans up. So there's a lot of different details involved. I gotta let you get into the details because you've been texting back and forth and doing all that stuff. Like I can't.
Like, I knew you were gonna
really,
do that.
I'm so beside myself that we're even able to do this that I can't even get into the details. I'm just ready to get there, have fun with whoever this is. And I love that I'm just like you. I want it to be somebody who it's their first time. But the one detail I will get into is that it's going to be a random drawing. And it's going to happen on or about March 31st, because the event, this is going to end March 30th. So on the 31st, we're going to live, probably Periscope, who this winner is going to be. It is going to be completely random, so it could be somebody that's been before. It could be somebody that may have been 10 times before. But it's going to be somebody, and they're going to be lucky.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get a lot out of this. And yeah. I'm excited.
So to be eligible for the Road to Augusta, here's what you have to do. You have to do three things, okay? Three things. You have to sign up for a Fantasy Draft account through the Tour Junkies. Okay, so let me clarify. If you signed up for a Fantasy Draft account through us in the past week, as we know we talked about that last week, you are already through step one. You're good. Okay, you are good. If you did not, and you do not have a Fantasy Draft account, this is step one for you. Go to tourjunkies.net, not .com, we're a small shop. Go to tourjunkies.net, the very top of the homepage in the navigation bar, it says Fantasy Draft. Click on that. It will redirect you to Fantasy Draft. You will put in your information. It will code your sign up under us, and you will get credit for step one. Okay? Step two, you have to make a deposit. Okay? This is not a freebie. You have to make a deposit. We're not telling you you gotta deposit like $1,000, but you have to make a deposit, okay? That's step two. Step three, you have to enter into a real money contest, just one real money contest by March 30th. So you got 3 weeks. We have the API, we have next week, we have the week after. I think it's a Shell Houston Open is the last week.
And we're talking like, I mean, there's $5 contests on here.
Yeah, just,
we're not like talking, yeah.
If you want to just barely skate by, you can do that.
You can now, step it up, though.
Hold on. If you do just what I've mentioned, which is sign up through the Tour Junkies, make a deposit, and play in one real money contest, you will get one entry into the drawing, okay? Your name goes in the hat one time. If you do this next thing, your name will go into the hat an additional five times for a grand total, a maximum total of six entries for the drawing on March 30th. And all you have to do is, after you've signed up for Fantasy Draft, after you've made a deposit, you can play in a real money contest, which is the $7,500 tour card contest on Fantasy Draft. It's a $25 entry fee, okay? $25. You can enter up to 9 times. Of course, you don't have to, but just one entry into the $25 contest. Right now, there's 344 people. Entries allowed into that contest. First place wins $900. They pay out to the top 86. So you just enter in that contest one time in the next 3 weeks, the $25 tour card contest, and you will get an additional 5 entries. Okay? So for a grand total of 6. And if you have 6 entries in there by the end of March 30th, and we do the drawing, chances are looking good for you. Chances are looking good for you. I'll just say, as a person who's been in Augusta my whole life and know what it's like to get tickets, even practice round tickets, it's very difficult. I doubt you're going to find an easier way or better odds to get onto the grounds of the Augusta National than this right here.
Totally agree. And let me just say, from a personal standpoint, you and I both, again, you mentioned it, you know, we're from Augusta, we've grown up in Augusta, but the Masters every year, there's just nothing like it. I will never not like going. It's just an incredible event. And whoever wins this is, they're just a very lucky person, and this is going to be great, fantastic all the way around. So,
hey, we also hope you're excited about hanging out with us. I mean, maybe that's, you know, we know the big deal is you're going to get on the grounds of the Augusta National, but
yeah, I don't know if they really
we're also looking forward to hanging out with you with one of you guys, or girls, if you know, a lady happens to win, But it's going to be great, so be sure and do that. Like I said, go to tourjunkies.net. At the navigation bar up at the top, click on Fantasy Draft. It will redirect you, and you are good to go to get started. So we are pumped about the road to Augusta. It's going to be a good time. I'm excited. I think we've done that. Whew. Ready to move on?
I am, but man, I don't know. I'm going to concentrate the rest of this year. But we'll get there. Let's go.
Hey, all right. Again, the thing about Monday is, too, like the pro shop's not picked over.
Yeah, I mean, like, you get the best.
Monday
stuff.
Is a great day. You go in, you get all the food is there. It's, I mean, like, they don't skimp on anything on just because it's a Monday. Like, the food is there. You can go anywhere you want to go on the golf course, pro shop it up, and you won't have to have paid for your flight, your hotel, or your ticket. Like, imagine the money you can drop in the pro shop, man. Like,
hey, let me tell you something. Don't underestimate the value of having a tour junkie with you on the course.
Oh, tremendous value.
Because we know this course backwards and forwards. We know where to watch stuff. We know where the cool stuff happens on Monday, like on 16 when the players are trying to skip balls across the water. We know a lot of the good spots to go in. So not only are you getting a trip out to the National, but you're basically getting the best tour guides out there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and dinner that night, which it'll be a sweet dinner. Like, we're not going to take you to Arby's.
Hey, but before we transition into what's next, when you get into like a spot where your phone actually doesn't go in and out for a second, just because your phone's sort of messing up a little bit. Are you in your normal area where you normally do these?
I'm in the native area. Is that better?
Apparently, you're in the native area.
Is that better?
Get out of the native area.
Am I better?
Yeah, you're better.
Okay, good. Okay. All right, before we get into this next segment, we have to play a clip from last week's episode. Last week's podcast, there was a couple of really funny things that happened. I'm going to play a brief clip here, and it's 27 seconds, I believe, Wait a minute. Let's see. Yeah, it's like 27 seconds. It's hilarious. So let's listen to this first. It'll tee up the next segment. Here we go. Listen, I got to be honest. About 5 minutes ago, my wife came up here in the place where I record and was greatly distracting.
Was she just sitting there? Wait. Like, what do you mean?
like distracting me.
But how... Like, how is she distracting you? Like, just, like, walking around?
No.
I mean, I'm kind of uncomfortable now.
Pat, if that did not scream dry spell, I'm not really sure what. But your your light bulb, like, I could hear and see... the light bulb go off when I'm talking about my wife distracting me last week. And you're like, oh, what do you mean she was walking? Oh.
I'm highly sensitive.
It was highly so sensitive thing. Funny, that reaction. And one of our listeners obviously picked up on that and also thought it was pretty amusing. So over the weekend, we had our nice little weekend together as you came to visit and hung out with me and the wife. And on Saturday night, I posted a picture on Twitter of the three of us, me, you, and my lovely wife, as we went on kind of a date that night. And a listener responds, zooms in on the picture with just your face and says, trying not to think about how she distracted David on the last podcast. Obviously, a tribute to the beauty of my wife, which is very true. She is a beautiful, beautiful woman. But also, he picked up on the dry spell Pat and just totally ran with it. And I was hysterical laughing as I read it.
You like, were. You
hysterical
were.
Laughing.
Yeah, I actually remember that, even though it was relatively. You do remember that. Yeah, you were, and Waters Donovan was one of our favorite guys that night. He was
on a roll. That's who won the Tweety League. R Donovan 11 is the Twitter handle at R Donovan 11. So you win nothing but just glory, Waters, because there aren't a whole lot of listeners that get on this thing. You know, like.
So, she's like a pro or something. So you're the first listener. So you should feel excited about that.
But now, props to you because that was freaking hilarious.
Yeah, that was good stuff. So
speaking of the weekend, Pat, we had the friendly fire at Forest Hills grudge match, the match play, where I totally handed it to you on the golf course and wore you out. We periscoped a lot of the day. It was a lot of fun. If you didn't get a chance to look at that, it's kind of funny. We did lose some followers over it. I'm not sure if we lost followers because of the golf or because of our videos in the car Saturday night.
I don't know. Whatever. But
either way, it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun doing the periscope thing. You know, we do overload it when we do it, but that's because we don't get together very often. It's a lot
of
fun.
We're not together all that much, so it's just like when we were at the PGA show. We kind of get a little crazy with it. And
yeah.
So take it or leave it, guys. But you know what? Next time we get together, it's probably going to happen again.
Yeah, and if you did not see the periscope where we had a few drinks Saturday night, and my wife is driving, and we pull into the Crystal drive-thru. If you've not seen that, you need to go back and watch that.
That was...
It's pretty funny.
I still
funny.
Can't believe you've never had Crystal burgers before.
I have now, man. I have now.
Yeah. What'd you think? Do you remember?
yeah, I do. It was very oniony, but surprisingly good. I mean, I don't even like a lot of onion, but I
that's the thing about a Crystal, though.
Yeah, it's weird. Now, the meat was also gray. I do remember that. It was a light gray.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of meat, but this is why you eat it. This is why you eat it after several drinks. You're not going through a Crystal drive-thru at noon on Tuesday after, you know, Tuesday of work. You know, this is like a midnight and past midnight thing.
Hey, I'll say one thing to those of you who have watched that Periscope video is K Todd, if you're listening, you better watch your damn back. That's all I got to say.
Hey, you know,
K Todd need to slow his roll. Anyway,
I enjoyed the second one though when you were rapping and then at the end of the rap.
Yes.
I just like randomly
City of Compton.
Yeah. As white sounding
the
as
whitest. The whitest. See-through, it was so white.
Yeah.
Transparent. It was so white. Oh, that was a lot of fun. We also did the Black Mask Challenge, which was our bet last week between Patrick Reed and Bill Haas. At the time on Saturday, Pat was about to leave, and it was kind of like, man, they're both kind of sucking. They're kind of going back and forth for who's going to finish top 41 and who's going to finish top 38. And so we just decided to both do it. We just decided to man up, which, in fact, I think Patrick Reed beat him by a stroke. So there's that. But we decided to both man up and do it and listen. You know, if you thought that was stupid, I'm sorry. It kind of was. It was kind of anticlimactic. My wife and her friends had done it a couple weekends ago and like acted like their skin was getting peeled off. And
I thought, it was not painful at all. That was
no.
And I wish I actually wish it had been more painful.
I do too. It would have been way more entertaining. We even saw there's if you just Google the Black Mask Challenge or whatever, there are people all over the internet that act like they're getting acid poured on their face.
Their face pulled off.
Yeah. It is not that bad at all. The worst part is that tool that I stabbed myself a couple times and bled over my eyebrow. But other than that, it's good. So anyway, we fulfilled our bet. We just both did it. The last thing we need to talk about, Pat, before we get into the course breakdown is FanDuel. Like, I don't know. I kind of thought that they were coming out for the Masters, but apparently they're just going to go ahead and let this thing rip. And we've already had some people kind of chime in and ask us if we're going to cover FanDuel. And the answer is yes, we are going to cover FanDuel. That's kind of, that would kind of be something that would be wise for us to do. We were not privy to any like beta testing or anything like that with FanDuel. I guess we're not that big of a deal. So we're getting our first look at it just like you. And rather than get on here and try to give like horrible advice when we really don't know what we're doing, we'll probably take it easy and like dip our toes in the waters of FanDuel for a couple weeks and then see what happens. Like definitely for Masters, we should be good. I would think for the Masters, we need to be on our thing. I mean, obviously, a lot of the information we give, even for DraftKings and Fantasy Draft, applies. We're just not talking specific prices or strategy. And the strategy is going to be a lot different, Pat.
It is.
Have you done any diving into FanDuel or anything you want to share about it?
I have. I looked at, actually, I created a couple lineups tonight, or well, this afternoon, just sort of looking into it. But really, I wanted to see what... I tend to play more GPPs mostly on DraftKings and some cash games, but I just kind of want to see what the GPPs look like. And very similar when you look at the large GPPs. I mean, you have a $3 that's a 200K, max 150 entry, so very similar to DraftKings. You've got a $25 entry that's 200K. $300 entry. Those are kind of your larger GPPs. I do like they've got several single entry and kind of five entry max tournaments that I think are pretty cool. A couple single entries that are $1, which is nice. And those are probably going to be the ones that I'm going to play this week just to sort of get a feel for what's going on. I'm not putting a lot of money towards FanDuel yet. It's interesting. I mean, when you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, well, I got to put these guys for the first four or first two rounds and these guys for the last four or whatever, there's a lot of nuances that I just do not know enough about yet to even pretend that I could give advice. I did look at pricing, and so there were some differences there, but again, fairly similar. So the pricing aspect I think is going to be a little bit easier. It's just the strategy is going to be where you gotta sort of figure it out when it comes to FanDuel, and that's going to take a few weeks. So like you said, we didn't get to beta test this thing, so we're starting where you guys are starting, and we're going to figure this thing out, but it's going to take a few weeks here.
Well, unlike Fantasy Draft, which we talked about last week, like it is not the same game. So like Fantasy Draft is basically the same game, scoring exactly. Slightly different, yeah. Salary caps double, player prices are roughly double, but the strategy of it is basically the same. Whereas FanDuel, yeah, the pricing is similar, slightly different salary cap, that kind of thing. Scoring is very different compared to DraftKings, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And then the strategy is completely different. So just for those of you who think you're going to try it out this week, we'll kind of hit it at a high level. You do draft eight golfers. You draft four for the first two rounds and four for the third and fourth round. Your entire lineup does lock after the start of round one. So once they tee it up in round one, you're set. Those eight golfers are set. So that's a big deal. Players primarily earn points for the rounds that you select them for, but if they finish in the top 25, no matter what round you put them in, they're going to get the bonus points for finishing in the top 25. But we won't get into the scoring for right now, but the scoring is different. The eagle, birdie, par, bogey, double or worse is different than DraftKings, as well as some of the bonuses are a little different. I think, a couple of things just to think about. Top golfers are going to be a higher premium on the weekend, just because they're going to be more likely to make a cut. So that's kind of a basic thing to think about, is you want to take your risk in rounds one and two, because everybody, for the most part, pending a withdrawal, should play should play is obviously going to play both rounds in rounds one and two. So you would take your risk in those first two rounds. And the first half is where I think you can win some big money in GPPs. If you get low-owned first-half guys who score points and get through, that's where you can make your money in the GPPs. But for the most part, if you're starting out and you're kind of dipping your toe in this week and you just have to give it a run because you're a golf addict, which we understand, I would think to put your safer plays in rounds three and four to start and just see what happens. So
yeah, and I, you know, just again to reiterate and recommend, if you're just kind of the casual player, which most of you are that listen to us, I don't know, we may have some sharps that listen to us, but start off low. I mean, don't be throwing a bunch of money at FanDuel right now. You know, there's no. I was actually looking to see if there were some free entry kind of tournaments or whatever, because I'd love to just sort of start off with that. But there's not. But again, there's some dollar single entries, dollar five entry max tournaments, $2 single entries. And again, they have the $3, which is similar to the $3 on DraftKings. I think this week, though, DraftKings has actually got it to $4. But, you know, 150 max entry kind of thing. Just start off slow, kind of get a feel for the game, and then gradually pick it up as you go. And there's also all the cash games are out there, the 50-50s, head-to-heads, all that kind of stuff, too. So.
Good stuff. Yeah, definitely save your money. Just go to Fantasy Draft, do the $25 deal, and get you five extra entries into the Road to Augusta, and come see us on Monday. That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
So. All right, let's get into the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill Club and Lodge. Pat, why don't you give us a course breakdown and the weather?
Yeah, so the Arnold Palmer Invitational this week at Bay Hill Club and Lodge, just over 7,400 yards, par 72. Historically, this course is played relatively easy on tour, kind of in the middle to the bottom as far as how hard the course plays. You got Bermuda greens this week, as we've seen a lot in Florida. They're going to be running pretty quick, I think. They redid these greens a few years ago, but they're starting to kind of come into their own now, so I think they're going to roll pretty true. You got several long par fours, so I think that's going to be something that we look at as far as approach shots. Tall rough. You got to keep it in the fairway here. It's not, again, it's one of those things I don't necessarily want to take just bombers into play. Because there's a lot of hazards here. You know, you got a lot of bunkers, on the left or the right on these greens. So you really got to, you just got to control your ball off the tee and onto the green. So I'm going to be looking at those guys that are just good ball strikers, but do have some distance. Looking at weather-wise this week, it's going to be perfect. You know, we had rain today. And I think, a little bit chillier weather, but as the week starts to move on, you're looking at kind of in the low 50s in the mornings to the 70s later on in the afternoon. Winds, not right now, I don't think it's going to be a huge factor, 5 to 10 miles per hour, but as far as I'm concerned, that's not going to be a huge thing. One thing I'll add is that, but I'm looking at recent form this week. I'm not really paying too much attention to the Valspar. I think that course was a lot different than most Florida courses that you see. And so I'm more kind of skipping back towards the Honda as far as where I'm going to see my recent form. I think that course was a little more corollary with where we are this week. So maybe not just that course, but at least the style of play. So that's kind of what I'm looking at from recent form. Past champions, last year you had Jason Day. Hopefully he stays healthy and stays in this tournament because he is scheduled to play. You had Matt Every in 2015 and 2014. I am not touching him this week at all. I can't even believe he won this tournament 2 years in a row. And then you had Tiger Woods 2013 and 12. So that's crazy to me. You had Woods for 2 years and then Matt Every for 2 years. and then you had Martin Laird in 2011. So that was there you go with some past champs. Quick stats for me that just stand out. Strokes gained approach has been one of my staples every week. Also par five birdie or better percentage. Total driving for me, I think, could be interesting just from a standpoint of the length and the accuracy factor, not getting off the fairways too much into that thick rough or into the bunkers. And then I like scrambling, and also not necessarily proximity, but greens in regulation greater than 200 yards, because there's some long par fours out here. There's going to be some long iron shots into these greens. So kind of looking at that, and we'll see what happens. What do you got, David?
I think that's the most stats you've ever pulled, Pat. How many stats is that? Five?
Actually, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 7 stats written down, but I kind of went with my 4 favorite.
Good God, that's crazy. You've never done that in the history of the podcast. You've never had that many stats.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think you basically hit it. I do think the longer par fours, there's 5 of them over 450 on this course. You know, and the par threes, all over 200 to 225, I think those are going to play, those are difficult holes. And I think if you kind of look at guys who play those well in that key range of 200 to 225, you'll also find similar players who are going to check the box from that strokes gained approach or greening regulation around that 175 to 200 yard mark in the fairway. So I think it's about the same kind of guy. I think you're on to something maybe with the Valspar. The fairway is a little wider here, 34 to 36 yards on average in the key landing areas on this golf course, whereas the Valspar is a little bit tighter. But I mean, you know, it's still a Florida course. It's still Bermuda grass. It's still, you know, it can get a little windy here and there. I mean, I do think there's more bunkering, more water maybe on this course at Arnold Palmer. Does play a little more, I think it plays a little more difficult, or it has in years past, except for last year. So yeah, I mean, that's about where I'm at. I mean, I'm looking at strokes gained approach as always. I just think that's, like you said, it's a key stat. If you read some of the quotes from these guys talking through the years about the tournament, I know Josh Culp does a great job of highlighting interviews and things like that come across. But they talk about it being a second shot golf course a lot. A lot of guys talk about that second shot. So it just is what it is. It's a thing every week. It's important. Scrambling as well, I think, is important. These are pretty fast greens. These are faster than normal. You're going to see these up around 12 and a half on the stimp. Plus, you've got longer rough. I mean, 4-inch thick rough is long compared to a lot of the rough that they see out on tour. It's comparable to U.S. Open stuff in some places. So if you miss the green, you got to be able to get up and down from tough spots on fast greens. So scrambling is key for me. You know, I wrestled with what to do off the tee. This is, you know, the guys don't hit as many drivers on this hole. I mean, on this golf course as you would think, despite the length. So I don't really know that I'm going to wait any necessarily like any off the tee marks. I think I'm just going with scoring, strokes gained approach, scrambling, as those are three pretty much staples for me. And then I did look at the par three number between 200 and 225 and just guys on tour who have played the par threes at that length pretty well this season. So that's the key for me. I'm just, you know, I'm not scared of the bombers, but I'm not scared of the short guys either. There's some of those out here that have great course history and can still get it done here at Bay Hill. So you ready to get in some picks?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Let us do that. We have a better field this week than last week. Thank God. It was dreadful. DraftKings, we've got Rory, Henrik Stenson, Jason Day, and Hideki Matsuyama in the 5-digit range. And then, of course, on Fantasy Draft, to me, it's kind of the $20,000 range is your big boy range. Yeah. You got a few more guys. You got Rory, Stenson, Day, Matsuyama, Fowler, and Rose also included in that $20,000, in that top tier, if you will. So how are you treating the top tier, Pat?
Well, I think I'll just say this right off. I think there's a ton of good value on both DraftKings and Fantasy Draft down at the bottom. And so I'm going to start right at the top at Rory. I love him this week. He's got, you know, good course history. I think it's, again, we saw at the WGC Mexico, my approach was sort of a wait and see with him, and I thought he played pretty well. He kind of ran out of gas a little bit, but again, to me, he showed me enough to want to to want to start to play him, you know, with a top 10 and seventh. And you know, last year here at this course, he was 27th, but I think that number is incredibly misleading because he had a 67 and a 65 in his, I think it was Friday, and then the Sunday round, he shot 65. And just, he was still kind of going through his putting issues and things like that. And I feel like he would have been right there to win this tournament at the end last year if he hadn't, you know, had those two blow up rounds that he had, because I think one was a 75 and another one was over par. So I love Rory this week at 12,000 or the 22.7 on fantasy draft. I think he is my favorite play. I feel like he can win this week, so I'm not scared of the higher price. You know, Stenson is, I believe, is probably going to be the highest owned guy here. You know, at 11.5 on DraftKings and 22,000 on fantasy draft. Again, you look at his course history; it's incredible. I mean, his last four starts here, he's finished in the top 10. He's had an 8th, a 5th, a 2nd, and then a 3rd last year. So Stenson is, it's hard to argue with playing him, but I think I'd rather play Rory. And then I also like Hideki at 10-3 at the bottom of the 10 range there on DraftKings. Checks a box for me on scrambling, par 5 birdie or better percentage, total driving. As we know, his form right now is just fantastic. So I do like Matsuyama. He was a top 10 here last year in 6, and then the year before that in 21st. So I think my three main guys, if I'm looking at the, you know, the over 10 range in DraftKings and really the over 20 range in fantasy draft, is going to be Rory, Stenson, and Hideki. But if I'm choosing between Rory and Stenson, I'm going to go Rory right there.
Good Lord, you named almost everybody on DraftKings, man.
No, I didn't. I skipped out on Day.
That's
it. I skipped out on Ricky. I skipped out on Justin Rose.
Listen, I gotta take up an argument with you here. Hideki Matsuyama is not in great form right now. He finished T25th at the WGC, which was not fantastic at the WGC for Hideki, and a miscut at the Genesis. He did win the Waste Management.
He won the tournament before that.
A month ago.
He finished 6th here. Look, come on.
But that's not great form right now for Hideki. That is not great form for Hideki. I'm off of him. He looked wacky at the WGC, especially from the fairway. He should have dominated that golf course. The way that the bombers at WGC showed up on that golf course, by the way, he gained strokes off the tee at the WGC, by the way. I think he, let's see, it's on here. Yeah, he was 6th. He was 6th in strokes gained off the tee. Now, he didn't putt well at all. But to be 6th in strokes gained on that golf course, where all the other bombers were taking advantage, and only finish top 25, sucks for Hideki. So, I'm not paying for Hideki.
So, you're going to compare... So, we're just taking Mexico into... That's going to be the...
No, I'm talking the recent form, and you're saying he's in great recent form, and I disagree for Hideki Matsuyama. He's not in great recent form. For God,
you're like
Kevin Chappell, he is.
4-year-old.
How am I like a 4-year-old?
You have the memory of a 4-year-old.
All right, let's move on.
Hey, guess what? I forgot what happened like literally 3 or 4 weeks ago when Matsuyama was the hottest player on this tour. And so now all of a sudden he has terrible form.
I didn't say he had terrible form.
God, I didn't say he had terrible form. You're a 4-year-old. Move on. Come on. That was ridiculous.
All right, the three guys above him, I really don't mind if you take any of them. Like, at this point, I don't mind. I think I'm actually more on Stenson, actually. And I don't think he will be the highest owned. I think he might be 2nd, but I don't think he'll be the highest owned. I think a lot of people are going to go towards Hideki or Day, being roughly $1,000 or more.
Day, no way. Less people expensive. People are scared of Day.
They're not scared of him because he just had the sniffles. That's what Jason Day does. But he was the same week he withdrew for the sniffles, he was at Sawgrass doing a promotional event. And he was all over Twitter. Like, he's fine. He's the defending champ, which is going to make people jump on Jason Day. Plus, he's $1,400 less than Rory, and he's the number one player in the world. People are going to be on Jason Day. Now,
Jason Day is not the number one player in the world.
Number two player in the world. Sorry, Dustin Johnson is. But I still think he's going to be a little bit higher owned than you think, especially because of the price. I like Rory a lot. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love Rory. But at 12,000, I think, I don't know. I really like Stenson. You mentioned Stenson's history here. He's never missed a cut in 8 tries with 4 top 10s. He's in fantastic form. When I think of a guy who can gain strokes on the field, you know, hitting approach shots at 200 yards or more, you know, take advantage of those par threes, I think of Stenson. You know, I had a lot of Rory again at the WGC, and Saturday and Sunday, he sucked from the fairway. Like, he was bombing it off the tee. Sucked from the fairway. So, I mean, I hope he's worked that out, but I would just prefer to go with somebody who I've just saw do it at the Valspar. So, I'm going to roll with Stenson. And in fantasy draft, I like Stenson as well. And I like Fowler and Rose. I do think, a lot like last week, fantasy drafts pricing a little bit tighter. Do you agree or disagree, especially down at the bottom? Like, I think it's a little tougher to get a super cheap guy on fantasy draft as it is in DraftKings.
No, I do agree. And I think I like the fantasy draft pricing better this week. I think, again, it's there's some... You know, I just feel like DraftKings missed the boat on a few of these guys, but...
Yeah, we'll get to those. Yeah. But yeah, so for that reason, I think I'll probably have a little less Stenson in fantasy draft and roll with a slightly more balanced lineup. But I do like Fowler, and I do like Rose on fantasy draft. I also like them as we get into the $9,000 range. I like both of them here for DraftKings as well. I mean, I do think Rose is going to be extremely, extremely chalky. So Fowler might be the pivot off of Rose. I mean, Rose has made 9 of 11 cuts here, four top tens. He checks the box in like literally everything, including the par three distance. So I mean, I think, you know, Rose is going to be pretty chalky. Fowler's in great form. He also checks all the boxes. He's played here 5 times, only missed a cut once with 1 top 10. I like both of those guys in the nines, and that's probably it for me.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, I think Fowler, to me, is you know, a lot of people may jump off of him just off of, you know, winning at the Honda, but I'm not going to put too much stock into that. I think, again, Honda is, to me, that the form that these players had there is more indicative of success at the Arnold Palmer than it was, you know, with the Valspar. So I like Ricky this week at 9,900. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go with him over Rose.
Yeah, I mean, I think I will too in GPPs, just because I think Rose will be more popular. So I'm with you there.
Yeah. All right. You know what? Yep. Don't sleep on Usti at 9,300.
Don't sleep on him?
I think a lot of people are going to go off of him. And it's just because he's just kind of one of those guys that you just never know what you're going to get, especially on DraftKings. And really, in this case, fantasy draft, I like the price at 18-1
on fantasy draft. Yeah, he's a better buy on fantasy draft to me.
Yeah, I like him better on fantasy draft. But I think, especially for a GPP play, I think Ole Usti could be pretty sneaky. I mean, he's got really good – well, I say really good. He's only played here twice.
Be careful, I'll catch you.
I know you will, like, but he's only played here twice, but 2 years ago he was top 10. But look at his look at his recent form. I mean, again, he's had 2 top 10s in his last 5 events. So I think Oosthuizen could be a pretty good play this week. So he's on the list there for me. But I freaking love Tyrrell Hatton at 9,100.
You do have a soft spot for Tyrrell Hatton, that is true.
Love this guy. He's got 3 straight top 10s, so his recent form has been absolutely killer. The price for me is right at 9,100 on DraftKings and 18,800 on fantasy draft. He's going to be hard for me to avoid. He's going to be one of the, he's just like that carrot dangling that I just got to take. And again, if you look at what he did at the Honda, you know, he had a. He was a top 10 there, and then fourth the week before that. So Hatton is,
yeah.
I don't know.
You know, Louie and Hatton might be the GPP move off of Fowler and Rose.
I think they both are. Exactly.
You know, here's the thing. It is a strong field. I mean, we are basically naming everyone so far, which we try not to do. But it is a really strong field. And we can't really, I can't justify a solid fade on, if I'm looking at DraftKings, Hatton's the eighth guy on DraftKings. I can't justify a solid fade on any of them. I mean, barely Matsuyama for me. So, however you want to do it, you can do it on DraftKings. On Fantasy Draft, I'm not big on Snedeker. I'm not real big on Casey, and both of those guys are priced higher than Hatton on Fantasy Draft, so I could see a fade there. But, a lot of these guys, these are really good players, man. I mean, so if you have a liking for them, roll with them. But Usti does check boxes for me, as does Tyrrell Hatton. Tyrrell Hatton checks two out of the four. Usti checks three out of the four. So I'm with you there. It's interesting. What about the $8,000 range on DraftKings?
So since you've gotten on me for picking a lot, and again, the thing is, I just like a lot of those guys above nine. So that's probably going to lead me to be more suds and duds this week. But in the eights, I'll mention two guys that are my favorite, because I do have a couple more than that. But I think definitely Francisco Molinari at 8,600. Again, he checks the box on strokes gained approach, par five birdie or better percentage, total driving for me. The guy is just, we've been talking about him week in and week out, but again, I love him. He finished top 10 here. He's played here four times. Twice he's finished in the top 10, once in the top 20. He's never missed a cut. Good recent form. His last two events were both top 20s. So for 8,600, I think Molinari is a great play, and could easily see him winning this tournament. Also, going to our guy Thomas Peters at 8,700. I think he's kind of an easy pick this week. He checks the box on scrambling, strokes gained approach, par five birdie or better percentage. So, he's 18-8 on fantasy draft. Just a world class player. We're going to hear a lot more of this year. He played here last year and did make the cut, but finished at the bottom of the field. But if you just look at his last, two or three events, he missed one cut, but the other two events he was top five. So those are two of my favorites right here in this 8,000 range. I do got a few more, but I'll let you mention your guys.
Well, you named my two. I'm in complete agreement. These are the only guys I'm going to have in the $8,000 range as well. On DraftKings, I like both Peters and Molinari. Peters checked three boxes for me in scrambling, strokes gained approach, and scoring in good form. Molinari also checking the strokes gained approach box and scoring himself, and played here four times, made all four cuts and two top tens. I mean, top 10 at half the time he's played at Bay Hill. 14 of his 16 rounds at Bay Hill have been par or better. So he likes the course, knows how to work his way around it. And I agree with you. I think it is tempting because of the value on DraftKings at the bottom. It's very tempting to go studs and duds. This may be kind of a dead range. This $8,000 range could be dead. I mean, I think you'll have a lot of lineups in the nine with, guys in the nines and maybe two guys in the nines, one in the tens, and then a bunch of 7 and 6K guys. So Peters, Molinari, I like both of those guys on DraftKings. That is it. As far as that same kind of range on Fantasy Draft, I like them both in Fantasy Draft as well. Fantasy Draft has Wesley Bryan scoring a little more appropriate than DraftKings. So I do like Wesley Bryan a little bit. I like Keimer is in the same range on Fantasy Draft. Might be a slightly better value on DraftKings. But those are a couple options for me there. Other than that, I'm done until we get into the sevens on DraftKings. So you got anybody else in the eights? You said you had a few more guys, or are you just saying that because you say that all the time?
No, that's it. That's all I got.
Right. Okay, so you're saying it because you say it all the time.
No, I do have a few more, but I don't want to. I got it.
I mean, we've already almost named everybody. All right, let's get into the sevens. You start it.
All right, so I love the sevens. I mentioned this before with just kind of liking that studs and duds strategy this week. So I'll start off with a few of mine, and then I'll let you kind of fill in. But one of my top guys this week, I think that is, and I love him on Fantasy Draft and DraftKings, is Kyle Stanley. He's at 15. He's at 15-4 on Fantasy Draft, which I think is just incredible. I think he should be a little bit higher there. So I love that price for him on Fantasy Draft, and then he's at 7,400 on DraftKings. Checks a box for me on stroke scan approach, par five birdie or better percentage. I mentioned that stat on, you know, proximity from greater than 200 yards for those long par fours. He checks a box there. He is number one in total driving on tour. So Kyle Stanley to me, I think, is a really good play, and I will probably have him as one of my staples in a ton of lineups. Now, he has not played here in 3 years, and so that's what most people are going to look at, including you, which you're probably going to bash me on. He missed a cut in 2013, but I don't know. I'm not going to pay attention to that. He did top 15 in 2011. But I think a Cal Stanley for the price that you're looking at that 7,400, and then especially at 15-4 on Fantasy Draft, just a really good play. Also love Tony Finau this week at 7,600. He played really well last week. Checks a box on par five birdie or better percentage and total driving. You know, Finau is just one of those just really solid players that week in and week out, I think, is a great DraftKings play. Also on FanDuel, or not FanDuel, but Fantasy Draft as well. So, you know, with that top five last week, I kind of like that. So I'll and then after that, I'll mention one more guy that I really like, Jason Kokrak. It's 7,900. He's 16-8 on Fantasy Draft. His course history is very good. If I can flip over to it here. He's only missed one cut here. If you look at his last three events, he's got two top tens. Has also been played fairly well recently. Checks a box for me on, you know, as far as driving. So I think Kokrak could be a pretty good play, especially in GPPs. He's kind of a GPP only play for me. I wouldn't put him in cash lineups, but I love him in GPPs.
See, actually, yeah. I love Kokrak, and I would put him in cash too. I think he really likes the golf course. That's proven. He checks a box in the par three category as well, which I don't think you mentioned. But I really like Kokrak at the $7,900 mark. And hey, he's I think he's Canadian too, so maybe the Canadian love train keeps going after Adam Hadwin's victory. I cannot believe you didn't mention Kisner. Like, how did you not mention Kisner? Were you just
Kisner? Well, I mean, again, you said you've already been on me. Like, the theory or the theme has been to get on me for everybody that I pick so far. So Kiz is one of my favorites this week, but I can't name everybody. I'll let you name some of them. So.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the 7,000s, there's like 25 guys, 30 guys.
There's
in the
so
sevens.
Many guys in here that I could play.
I'm right. Well, I mean, I was more getting on to you when you were naming like all four guys in the nines, as opposed to
because I like everybody up there.
Kisner, I love. There were four stat categories I gave you in the beginning. He checks the box in all four. So Kisner, total. I think he's going to be a little bit like Justin Rose, where I think he is going to be pretty chalky. But I like him in both Fantasy Draft and DraftKings. I think he's a little bit better value on DraftKings. He's below the average price. He's above it in Fantasy Draft. They seem to have it a little better. So I might roll with him. I won't roll with him in either one. Honestly, I don't really care. I'm going to have him in both. Another play that I like is a guy that does tend to frustrate me. He checks the box in strokes gained approach and scoring. Finished T23rd at the WGC, 4th at the Honda Classic, 23rd at the Dubai Desert Classic. That is Martin Kaymer. Just seems to play well on, you know, think about TPC Sawgrass. You know, he's a former champion at the Players. You know, plays the Florida sandy, watery golf course as well. So, plus we get to look at his sparkling, sweaty biceps all week. So, he's got that going for him. 7,400, I think that's a really stupid low price for Martin Kaymer.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Actually, I love Kaymer this week, so we can... You got my seal of approval.
Yeah,
there.
And just like Kiz on Fantasy Draft, he's more appropriately valued on Fantasy Draft. So I may have a little more exposure to him on DraftKings for that reason. But as we get down into kind of that mid to low sevens, you know, there's definitely some interesting names in here. You mentioned Kyle Stanley, 7,400. I was on him a lot in the beginning of the year. Seems like he's fallen out of form just a touch, but you know, I don't mind the pick. Wesley Bryan, I kind of already talked about as it relates to fantasy draft. He's stupid cheap on DraftKings at 7,100. That's crazy cheap. His form is just
the difference between him on DraftKings and fantasy draft is incredible.
Ridiculous. His form is just unreal right now. Unreal form. At 7,300, two guys that I like there. One is the wily veteran Stuart Sink. He has played this event 17 times, made the cut 13 times, only three top 10s out of those 13, but actually lately is checking the box in scoring, believe it or not, and the key par 3 distance. So I think Stuart Sink is a decent little GPP play. I mean, he's not a sexy pick. You don't feel great when you make the selection, but I don't really mind it.
Wait, who?
Yeah. Stuart Sink.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Checked out for a second.
Yeah, I bet. And then the other one at 7,300 is a guy both of us really liked a lot last week. He's heart attack Cam Smith. You know, comes out with a 74 day one at the Valspar, then fires a 67 in round two. He didn't have a great finish at the with a T49, but Cam Smith's a good little he's a good little player. I don't mind him at 7,300. And then you've got, you know, Byung-Hun An is always interesting as a kind of a premier player who does check boxes and strokes gained approach and scoring. He's only 7,000, which is nuts. You got Russell Henley, who's obviously in good form. What do you think about Billy Horschel, your boy Billy Ho? I know burned you a couple of times, in a couple of lineups at least last week. Any thoughts on him?
Well, actually, so you mentioned Ben On. I like him a lot this week at 7,000. I think is a very good play. Way too cheap for where he should be. And then Horschel, I'm throwing out last week. He was, okay. I mean, I think, you know, he felt like he was playing well. If you look at some of his interviews after the Honda. And, you know, he's at 7,000 on DraftKings and 16,500 on fantasy draft. Checks the box for me on strokes gained approach, you know, and total driving. So I think Horschel is a really good play this week. So I'm going to be back on him. So I will play him. If you look at the Honda, he was fourth.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he said, and I think he had a chance to maybe, I don't know, have a shot at really contending there. So, I just think, yeah, even though he missed a cut at the Valspar, I said it earlier in the show. I don't think these, the Honda course, you know, the PGA National and then Copperhead last week, totally different courses. So I liken this course this week more towards PGA National. So I don't think Billy Horschel, just because of last week, is in terrible form. So I like him this week.
Okay, I mean, I can get it. I mean, he did burn a lot of people last week. There's a fair amount of people on him, so I get that. Another one at 7,000 I got a name is Pat Perez, right at 7,000 on the number, checks the box in scrambling and scoring. He's played this event 13 times, made the cut 11 with three top 10s. Really like Pat Perez. We haven't seen it. We didn't see him last week at the Valspar. Saw him at the Mexico at the WGC event, but I like Pat Perez this week. I think he could go a little slightly under the radar. Maybe not. We'll see. But that rounds out the sevens. You could easily make a really sweet lineup in DraftKings on just the guys in the sevens. It's ridiculous. All right. Why don't you start the 6,000s and let's button this up.
All right, so the 6,000 again. Here's the Adam Hadwin of the week, and that's Charles Howitt, 6,900 on DraftKings.
Yes, totally ridiculous.
I mean, he's better priced and more accurately priced on fantasy draft at 17,000. But again, Howell is I don't know. It seems like when you look at him every week, he's never missed a cut on a course. And it's kind of the same this week. I mean, he has missed it maybe once or twice, but this is another course that he plays really well. 6,900 is way too cheap for him. He checks the box on scrambling, par 5 birdie or better percentage. So I just think he's going to be extremely high owned, but I'm not going to avoid him again, just like I said with Hadwin last week. So Howell is there is – I don't see how he's not going to, you know, produce value this week at the price that he's at. I don't see that.
Yeah, I agree.
Again, I'm going to give you two – well – we'll give you three other guys, actually, that I like here. So, I like David Lingmerth at 6,900. I think, again, this is just the type course that he could play well on. You know, he's played well at the TPC in the past. You know, he's as far as cuts here, I don't think he's ever missed a cut here. So, to me, I think Lingmerth could be a really good play. It's just, you know, he's never finished. He's had a top 15 here. Nothing's ever been, you know, contending except for that top 15. But, again, I like the cheap price. Two other guys I'm going to mention. One is Morgan Hoffman.
I had a little bit of him last week, actually.
Yeah, and you know, I heard him on the Golf Channel, and I think he's got kind of a renewed focus. And actually, he was on the Golf Channel today. On the I can't remember the name of the show, but it's the show with Michael Breed and
the Golf Fix,
and you know he's mentioned he's kind of got a renewed focus for what he's doing. He's very cheaply priced at 6,700. His recent form is pretty good, and then also if you look at course history, it's not that bad here. I mean, you look at last year, and he missed the cut, but 2 years ago, and last year to me was his worst year on tour, but 2 years ago he had a top five here, and then before that he was top 35, and then look at his last two starts, he was second 3 weeks ago, and then had a 50th place finish last week. So I like Morgan Hoffman at 6,700, and then 14-6 on fantasy draft is pretty good as well. Last guy I'll throw out there, and then I'll let you go, is Roberto Castro at 6,900. Love his price at 6,900, but also like his price at 14.9 on fantasy draft.
Yeah, I like that too.
Again, recent form, I think he showed a little bit at the Mexico, at the WGC in Mexico. Checks a box for me of scrambling. And so I think that Castro is one of those guys that if I'm especially playing in some GPPs, I'm going to throw him into some lineups. So there you go.
All right, well, first of all, you're dead right about the Charles Howell pick. I mean, just ridiculous pricing on DraftKings. He will be, we could see record ownership, especially in the low-dollar GPPs on DraftKings with him. However, right above him, we didn't even talk about it. Brooks Koepka is in the sixes. Brooks Koepka is in the sixes. Like, that's never happened, ever. That's how far this guy has fallen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's wild to think about.
You know, your Wednesday co-host, Justin Van Zuden, had a Twitter post about Koepka, and it just had, like, a carrot hanging from the sky with a hand reaching out towards
yeah.
it, which I thought was a great tweet. And that's kind of what you want to do with Koepka. You just want to, like...
Yeah. You know. I kind of want to take him, especially in a GPP, because everybody's going to go straight to Charles Howell. Everybody's going to go straight to Charles Howell. Koepka is, we know that when he is on, this guy can score. He can score. And that's more, now his game is a little more penal in fantasy draft because you can also make double and triple bogeys, which you lose more points for on fantasy draft. But when it comes to DraftKings, it's 6,900. Plus, on fantasy draft, he's actually priced at the average price point. So that's how off they are between the two of them. So I think Brooks Koepka at 6,900 is incredibly interesting. Like, what if, again, it's kind of like my thing with Brendan Steele a couple weeks ago. I would rather be a week early than a week late. And what if this is the week Brooks turns it around? We haven't seen him since the WGC. You know, he did have two rounds in the 60s at the WGC. He just kind of crapped a bet on Sunday. I don't know. It's interesting to me. He's a Florida boy. This is a Florida court. I don't know. I'm just saying, 6,900, this could be the week Brooks gets back on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to. It's going to be hard to avoid him.
Yeah, it's 6,800. I'm also on Mark Leishman. Leishman checks the box in scrambling, scoring, and the par three metric. He's made 5 of 7 cuts here with 1 top 10. I like him. Morgan Hoffman, I agree with you there. We talked about that. In fact, we tweeted last week about our morning starting off talking about Morgan Hoffman, which then made me put him in a lineup, which actually made me money on Fantasy Draft, by the way. So that's good stuff.
He's playing better. I mean, come on.
Look,
I mean, forget about golf is, you know, it's just like your own game when it comes to these players. I mean, these guys, they will pick up on it pretty quickly and then all of a sudden be in good form. And I think Hoffman's a guy that's one to look out for this summer. So just saying.
Again,
my game right now, by the way, is terrible.
Yes, it is. It is awful.
Based off of last
week. It is awful. With some of the, you know, the pricing here, I don't think I'm going to go much lower than 6,700 on DraftKings, but there are two guys in that range that I like. One is Lucas Glover, who continues to just have a pretty good year. I mean, a solid year. He seems to be putting better. He checks the box in scoring. He's made 5 of 7 cuts here at $6,700. I think he's a cut maker. I think he's an easy cash play at that price. And then the other one is more of a GPP guy. I've been on this guy before, but he's made 13 of 14 cuts at this event with 2 top 10s, checks the box in scrambling, and strokes gained approach. Chad Campbell at $6,700. Maybe a Lucas Glover pivot.
Wow.
I think a lot of people will be on Lucas Glover, so...
I don't really have anyone. The lowest price guy that I have that I've there's two that I've written down. One is Anirban Lahiri, and then also Harris Inglis at 6,700. They're both at the same price. Inglis a little cheaper on Fantasy Draft at 15,800. But Lahiri, I think, could be an interesting GPP play. So just there you go.
Well, and back to Fantasy Draft, I think Lucas Glover's more appropriately priced over there. He's near the average price point, so maybe not as much of him on Fantasy Draft. But Chad Campbell's lower. He's in the 14,000s, which is kind of low. You know, I did say a couple times Fantasy Draft's pricing is a little tighter, so... For that reason, I don't have a whole lot of guys in this super low level. The lowest I'm going to go on Fantasy Draft at 13,500 is Billy Hurley. Kind of liking Billy Hurley this week as a bounce back. He missed the cut at the Valspar by one shot. You know, seems like just one of those kind of courses that could fit Billy Hurley. So anyway, 13.5. I take a shot on him in a larger contest on Fantasy Draft. Other than that, that is it. That's it for me.
Okay, I actually am with you on Billy Hurley. So we'll close it out on that. We'll
close it out on agreement.
Yeah,
you called me a 4-year-old in this show. That was not nice. I think you're just bitter from the beatdown that I administered to you on Saturday.
Yeah, true.
Listen, no announcements other than the Road to Augusta presented by the Tour Junkies and Fantasy Draft. TourJunkies.net, click on the Fantasy Draft link, sign up for an account, make a deposit, play in a real money game for one entry. Play in a real money game and a $25 tour card entry and get 6 entries. Do it now. And between March 30th and you... could be meeting us in Augusta Monday morning for the practice round at Augusta National with airfare paid for, your hotel paid for, your ticket paid for, your food paid for, your dinner paid for, and a day with the Tour Junkies. It's going to be a fun day. Really fun day.
Yeah, it's going to be great, fantastic.
Yeah, we're really excited to be able to do this. We really appreciate Fantasy Draft putting it up and doing this for us. Like I said, a fast growing relationship rounding third base right now with Fantasy Draft, but it's a fun game. And hey, I've played it. This will be my third week playing it. And of the 2 weeks that I've already done it, I've won money on Fantasy Draft and lost money on DraftKings. So
yeah, well, and the app came out this week.
The app did come out. That's right. That's a great announcement. The app is out. Yeah. Yes. they're still working on it. They're building some things. They know, like, yeah. You don't have to blow them up and say, "Oh my God, why doesn't it do this?"
Yeah, this
they're working on it.
They're working on it, but it's good stuff. I like it.
Yeah, we got to do some of the beta testing. We've given them some feedback, so they are open and taking it, and they're working on it. But there is an app now, so that is money. It's been a good show. It's been a jam-packed show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We will be eagerly awaiting the drawing for the Road to Augusta. It's going to be a lot of fun. So thanks for listening to the Tour Junkies podcast. We appreciate you downloading the show. Also appreciate you leaving us an iTunes review. That would be fantastic if you would do that. That would help us out a bunch. And if you don't already, follow us on Twitter and Instagram @tour_junkies. You got anything else, Pat?
That's all I got. I'm good to go.
All right, may your screens be green for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. We love you, Arnie. Shout out to the king. See ya! Out!
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.